This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN. On this day, which in case you're keeping track at home, is a Monday in New York City. I am Peter Rosenberg. Guess what, guys? ENN tonight? Oh, yeah. It's sponsored, baby. So
yeah.
So you know it's legit, Don. Sponsored by the WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker US Network. Your free $45 satellite entry is waiting. Go to BorgataPoker.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older. And in New Jersey to play, gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. I know most people's sponsorships are a quick read, not a full commercial, but we do things different here on ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Don, well, Don isn't going out, but he does go out, so he's not long.
That's what makes RJ the best. And I'd like to say good evening to Don.
How many chances you get?
Now, I don't know if either of you have been on Twitter. There is a different drop that could be played, Don, but it's been decided we're gonna pass on that one, I believe.
Gutless.
You would like to hear it again, wouldn't you?
It's been emailed to me, so I will hear it again.
Now, you really believe that that should be played?
No.
I don't think it should be played. It's dangerous. I mean, it was a misspeak by me.
Right.
It was played off of GasX, which is a product that I do actually
use. Take us through what the logic was.
Yeah, see if
take
you can
us
do
through it.
Again.
I'd like to,
because you were talking about Gase.
Right.
And then Don said, I haven't had Gase in a while, and then I extrapolated that out to try to make it like a play on words of GasX, and it came out all wrong.
Yeah. Still funny.
It's funny, but it's objectionable.
I was just joking. It can't be played.
But you know what? I know you were joking because in your heart, you have a soul. Our partner here, he's badgering RJ to play it.
No.
Because he has no soul. He has no
not
heart.
True.
He's got a black piece of coal in the middle of his chest. That's what he has.
I can't remember the last time we had a potential drop that wasn't for air, but will be distributed among the crew.
It's been a while, but
it's happened, but it's been a long while.
All right, guys. First of all, Michael, I know we just covered it, so I'm not going to do it right now on ENN, but yes, it's official. Steve Cohen, the new owner of the New York Mets. I'm not going to give you a lot more here because I don't care and I find it boring, but I understand it needs to be
amazed.
Covered.
I'm amazed. What if Daniel Snyder sold the Washington football team? Would that be a big thing for you?
So someone said that to me, and it's a totally fair point. Why it's big news. But all I end up thinking there is, and I know this isn't popular, Wilpon's not in the Wilpons are not in the same stratosphere as Snyder. They're not. They're
Don,
not.
Don?
They're not.
Don.
They're cheap. They're not.
I mean, there
bad
has been, but you look at
way.
The scandal around it's Snyder's worse than Wilpon's.
It's a
but in
level.
Terms of a fan base hating the ownership, are they
but
close?
I mean, I can't answer to that. Maybe Peter can. But it's just
you
based
can answer
on wins
to the Mets side
and being cheap. I don't think there's things that could actually force the Wilpons to sell.
And like op-ed after op-ed, incredible papers being like, he needs to go, don't support him. Where like the entire media has had to launch into him because he's been so detrimental. The stadium's now empty. I mean, people still go to Mets games. The Washington, you couldn't get a ticket to a Washington football game my whole childhood. Right now, it looked last year like it looked yesterday.
But can I tell you one thing, though? If the Washington football team was good and Daniel Snyder was the most reprehensible person in the world, that place would be jammed. They're not going because of Daniel Snyder. They're not going because they're bad.
Well, you're right. It is a combination of those things.
But all I'd say that Daniel Snyder's a great example of a guy that has a bunch of money and loves the team. And it hasn't worked out. So I'm happy the Wilpons are gone. I'm happy for Steve Cohen because
But Steve Cohen could be another Snyder.
But no, I'm not from a criminality standpoint, but just not be a great owner. Is that possible? We've seen a bunch. We've seen a bunch of rich owners throw money all over the place.
But Don, don't you believe though that in a non-cap sport, a rich owner makes a difference? A rich owner in the NFL makes no difference. A rich owner in the NBA and the NHL makes no difference. In baseball, it could make a world of difference because you're allowed to spend as much as you want and take the tax and go from there. He can have a $350 million payroll if he wants.
Right. Absolutely. And we'll see if he does. But I remember Baltimore throwing a bunch of money around 20 years ago. No championships. You know, so you got to do the right thing. Money is not the end-all, be-all. We've seen plenty of teams with lower payrolls win championships because they make the right decisions. You still have to make the right decisions because I think he's going to probably let Brody go. So he's got to hire the right general manager, the right baseball people. I agree with you. We will not look at the Mets being whatever they are and say it's because of a lack of money, because they're being treated like a small market team. That now is off the table. But he still has to make the right decisions.
I understand, but going into this offseason, if the Wilpons continue to own the team, do you think there's any chance whatsoever that they sign JT Realmuto? No. If Steve Cohen owns the team and he's still free as a free agent, he can outbid the Phillies, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers. He could be in play, and then it comes down to where does Realmuto want to play. But with the Wilpons and Cats, there's no way that they even make a play for him, just like they didn't make a play for A-Rod.
And we'll pick up right there, right after ENN, guys. But there's a full plate of football to get to, and let's move on to some of that. Jamal Adams had his first game with the Seattle Seahawks yesterday. Seahawks got the win over Atlanta, much to Michael's chagrin. Let's hear from Jamal Adams on what it was like playing with Russell Wilson in such a high-scoring offense in Seattle.
I'm not used to it, you know. It's exciting. You know, it's exciting to know when we do come off the field, we can, you know, definitely, you know, make our adjustments, catch a breather, you know, for Russ to go out there and do what he's always done. I'm just happy to be a part of this organization, man. And these guys were telling me they're happy I'm here, but I'm really happy I'm here, man. I just see so much talent, so much great success coming our way. As long as we just continue to, you know, keep our head down and continue to strive. But obviously, it's only one game. 1-0, that's what matters. We got to, you know, clean up this film and then get better for next week.
That was a little bit of shade there at the old Jets offense, no?
A little bit.
Jeez, and that wasn't the end of the shade from Jamal. Here he is talking about Greg Williams.
I wasn't bored, you know. I was blitzing. I was having fun. It's about the same, to be honest. It might have been a little bit more. It reminded me a little bit of Todd Bowles when Todd Bowles used me, you know, my first 2 years. But, you know, just out there making plays, man. Whenever my name is called or my number is called, I'm trying to do whatever I can to help the team win and get put in the best position to get the ball back to three. Because when obviously you get the ball back to three, he's gonna make special plays. So that's my focus. I'm never trying to be a one man guy. I'm just trying to, you know, do my job to the best of my ability.
I don't know if I've ever rooted for a player more than I root for Marcus May to be better than this guy.
I know. Jamal makes it sound like he's really all about the team, unless it's one of those moments when he no longer feels like being on your team, in which case he just submarines everything.
But he is going to win over a lot of hearts and minds if the Jets are awful and Seattle's winning and he's taking great pride in him being in the right place. You don't think Jet fans are going to be all of a sudden on his side and say he did the right thing? I was hearing it today.
It happened today already. People called up and said that they don't blame him.
It's going to be a very, very tough year for the Jets if they don't start winning some games. Seattle's going to continue to win. I got news for you. That's a good football team.
Jamal in a Seahawks uniform was probably not the strangest sight yesterday. It might have been Tom Brady, who showed up to Tampa Bay wearing his creamsicle shirt. And things didn't go well against the Saints. And here's what Tom had to say afterwards.
I think that, you know, anytime you turn the ball over like we did, you know, we had opportunities out there to make plays and it just came up short. So there's no excuses. And we're the only ones that could do something about it. The Saints kind of play how they always play. They did a good job on offense. You know, we hung our defense out to dry, you know, on some short fields with not moving the ball, not doing very well on third down at certain times, not the turnovers really hurt us. And, you know, got to clean that up for next week. We got to do a lot better job.
If they're not good, and I don't think that's possible because they have a lot of talent, is he going to regret it?
No.
And the Patriots win, and they win their division again. Let's say they're not going to win the Super Bowl. They're not good enough. But let's say they win their division. You think he's not going to regret it?
No. I think he wanted it out, Michael. I think he was done. I think he accomplished what he was hoping to accomplish. And I think he wants to go and have fun again and just be his own guy. Sure, he'd be disappointed if he lost, but I really don't think he spent a lot of time thinking about winning and losing. I just think he saw an opportunity to just part ways. You heard Hogan on Friday. Were you surprised? No. He just flat no, because I think he was there and he saw that there was tension and football wasn't fun for him. And if he's going to play football at 43 with all the rings and the Lock Hall of Fame and considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, I think he just wanted to be free and have a good time. I don't think he wants to lose, but I don't think he's going to judge the decision based on who was better last year.
When do you guys think Gronk is showing up? Did he miss his flight yesterday? Or
no, he was there.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't
two catches,
great,
but 11 yards.
To me, if I was a professional athlete, the most fun I would have would be winning.
You
and
say
won,
that, but you don't
he
know.
He won six Super Bowls. I don't know. You're right, I don't know. But winning would seem to be the most fun. You put up with all the nonsense in order to win. I guess he's, you know, Bill Belichick's not exactly Huggy Bear. I get it.
No, but I guess, you know, you've been doing it for a long time. You've accomplished everything. You want to go to work and you want to have fun. No.
All right, so he has fun, but you heard Bruce Arians yesterday. He threw him under the bus.
Well, that's
I never heard
Bruce
Belichick
Arians.
Do that.
Here's Bruce Arians. He was asked if Brady was out of sync.
Came out lighting up. We go right down the field and score a touchdown. So I wouldn't say he was out of sync at all until we started screwing it up. We didn't run the ball as well as I thought we would on the edges. We had some success, but we had some good drives and we had some really poor drives. But the turnovers and the penalties were the key.
He was also continued to be critical of Brady.
He looked like Tom Brady in practice all the time, so it's kind of unusual to see that in the ball game because they didn't do the things that we didn't get ready for. Everything they did, we thought we were ready for. I think it's a great learning experience. It's just round one of a 16-round fight, and we'll learn from it.
I mean,
remember he didn't play poorly in New England hardly ever, and you had a coach that never said anything. So,
yeah, it's almost hard to even make a comparison. The guy was basically perfect for 19 years, and you have a guy, yeah, who literally doesn't use words. Belichick in a commercial yesterday.
Very good. Good
surprised
commercial.
Surprised to see that. For Subway?
And funny. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty entertaining.
Bunch of continuity mistakes. I mean, there's no way you can cut the suit like that quickly. It's ridiculous.
You're not believing that for
Come
one
on.
Second.
You're trying to sell a sandwich here.
Charlie's sitting on my lap watching that commercial. He turns to me, why did he cut a suit? And what do you say? Well, just joking. I didn't know what to say.
No, because the greatest coach in the history of football dresses like a bum. That's what you
hobo.
Say.
Use hobo.
Okay.
Yeah, hobo or Jace, for sure. I wish we could squeeze a drop out of what Don just said. I'm trying to sell a sandwich here. It sounded tremendous and also sure. believable.
If anybody could do it, it's RJ.
Joe Burrow, not great in his debut in Cincinnati. Not what you want. And he was asked how he would grade his performance.
I can't miss that one to AJ. That's, you know, a high schooler can make that throw. And then I can't throw the ball right to Melvin Ingram and give them the ball back when we're in scoring range. So, tough way to lose.
Gave himself a D. Not what you want.
I'm taking responsibility. Although he should have been in overtime. Was it 29-31? It was a chip shot field goal.
Trying to sell a sandwich there. You got to hit that.
It's a great, great point.
Whenever something should be done that's easy, that should be the drop.
So there was a late 47-yard catch, or so we thought, to Michael Gallup of the Cowboys.
That what a would great have name put, for a receiver.
That would have put the Cowboys in field goal range with 21 seconds left. However, it came back. On what was called offensive pass interference, illegal contact with Jalen Ramsey from Gallup, so they said. Head coach Mike McCarthy not thrilled with the call.
I was surprised there was a call there either way. So obviously disappointed in the call, particularly at that point in the game. I thought they let both teams play tonight, and you know you just don't usually see that, particularly at a critical point in the game.
If the rule's still in place, you think they reverse it?
It's a great point. I was just going to say, I love that the rule's not in place. That was a terrible rule, the way it was executed. I think its intent was fine, but the execution was terrible.
Replay really showed how Ramsey sold it. Threw his head back. And like, listen, that's part of it, right? I mean, that's
guys,
a good job out of him.
This just popped into my head about the New Orleans-Tampa Bay game. Was it me, or did it feel like on some level Sean Payton was trying to prove a point at the end of that game?
You know, I thought about that, and I think it comes down to this. Tiebreakers are the amount of points scored within the division, so I think that that's what it came down to.
Because they were really still pushing it.
Yeah, I think they wanted that touchdown.
Every moment, down to the last minute and a half, they were continuing to push. But yeah, so maybe you're right.
Those are tiebreakers, so I'm sure that's why I was doing it.
That makes sense.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, on the other side of the Tampa Bay story, you have Cam Newton in New England. 15 rushing attempts for Cam. Second most ever in his career. But in spite of the foot and shoulder injuries, he told WEEI that he is not worried about injuries with running. Quote, I just feel as if whatever necessary way you have to go about winning a football game, that's what you have to do. There's something so Belichickian about that, by the way.
People have forgotten how great this guy is.
Yeah,
if he's healthy, I mean, he's
I remember someone on this radio show saying that quite a bit over the last month or two.
Who?
It was me. It was me.
Oh.
I didn't understand it. I did not understand how there wasn't an opportunity for him to get a real
Well, it came down to health. That
I know,
I remember answering you about that. But when this guy is healthy,
right,
and it was hard for people to find that out during a pandemic and work him out, he's great. He's not good. What is he, Peter?
Great.
Yeah.
Not good. Great. I mean, now yesterday he wasn't great. He was good.
Yeah, but he could be great.
Great.
But it's one game. I mean, if midway through the season he starts to slow down or hurts the foot again, what are they going to say? Well, this is the reason why he waited so long to sign. So it's
the right
going
fit, though.
On.
Let's be realistic. I mean, Belichick may kill him. He may not get another contract after this year if Belichick's going to run him 15 times a game. But he will use him in a way that is effective, of course. He'll be more effective with him than probably anyone else could be.
McDaniels has got so many things he can do. As great as Brady was, he wasn't great last year, but you've got so many defenses are going to have to just over-prepare for this offense.
The NFL reportedly threatening discipline for coaches who don't want to wear a mask on the sideline. They sent out a memo on Monday morning to reinforce the fact that coaches need to wear a face covering at all times on the sidelines, threatening discipline to those who won't comply. A very sharply worded message, Michael, and I know that affects you a lot because you use tools, words as tools, as weapons, if you will. It was particularly noticeable.
And I use words as tools, but as weapons.
Particularly noticeable on Sunday night when Sean McVay was shown repeatedly on television with his mask pulled down below his chin.
He should never cover that face.
You love it.
He's a good-looking man.
You feel very strongly about that, we know.
How about them missing that timeout call? It was clearly to zero when he tried to call the timeout. That's the difference in the game right there. They won by 3 points. That's a touchdown. They would have had to settle probably for a field goal. So he's running down the sidelines without a mask, and he called the timeout, and the play clock was clearly at zero before he got to the official.
You're trying to sell a sandwich here.
Now what they should do is, if you want to make things exciting with the mask business, call it as a penalty during the game.
Oh, yeah.
You're running down the field trying to call something, and you make it there, but guess what? Your mask came down, 15-yard penalty, you're out of field goal range again. Boom!
We spoke about this during the 5 o'clock hour, and I'll just repeat, because I don't want people to think I'm backing off my position. I don't understand the rule when everybody that's on that field has passed a COVID test, everyone, twice in the week.
Yeah,
so what's the purpose of it
other than
an optic?
That's it. I don't think that's worthy of suspension, though, or serious discipline. That's my one issue with it. Now, maybe you guys don't care about this, and I'm being biased here, but so you can cut me off. But pretty interesting situation for Ron Rivera's first game in Washington. He's not only been dealing with the pandemic and social justice issues, a name change in Washington, of course, but accusations of sexual harassment within the organization. Ron Rivera's also been dealing with his own cancer diagnosis. He missed practice last Tuesday for his first chemo and proton treatment. He needs to have 5 treatments a week for 7 weeks.
Mm.
So he had a treatment yesterday, an injection, during halftime. He had to go to another room, and he let an assistant know that he might not make it back to the locker room in time to speak during halftime. I guess this warms my heart, as you want to see, like what we're talking about with Sam Darnold, you want to see a quarterback develop. Well, Dwayne Haskins took the helm and supposedly gave a really fiery speech, at least according to rookie Chase Young, who said, quote, "It definitely hyped us up." The speech that he gave, I took it to heart. A lot of people did. They went out there. They came back. They won the game. By the way, rookie end Chase Young finishing his debut with 1.5 sacks. But cool story for Rivera.
Very nice. I was just used to think this, and I'm glad you brought the story up. Like, why would somebody who's going through that continue to work? And I thought like that until my friend Susan Waldman set me straight. Because Susan went through a battle with cancer, chemo, ravaged her body, lost her hair. She never missed a day of work. Not one. Came to work every day. And I said, Susan, why don't you just stay home until you get better? She goes, stay home and do what, Michael? To think about this? Think about dying? Think about like battling this? He said, she said, you have to have a reason. You have to have a reason to go on. You have to go to work. You have to take your mind off of it, even if it's for 4 hours. And I got it. It's hard to take me off of a point, as you guys know. That made me get it. And that's probably what Ron Rivera's going through. He could walk away for a year, still have the job. Let Jack Del Rio coach. But what Susan said resonated with me. What are you going to do, sit home and worry all the time?
Now, there might be people that, you know, physically can't work or decide it's better for me to stay home. That's okay, too. So, you know, do what you feel is best for your recovery.
But mentally, I guess it's better if you can get to work. Not sure. Because, you know, work is more important than life, but
no,
that
but
could help you
sit
heal.
Around all day thinking.
Right.
You know, especially right now, Rivera's probably got a house full of kids. Everyone learning from home. One non-football story before we close things out here.
Okay.
And that would be, you may have flipped over to football yesterday, and when you came back to an NBA playoff game, realized that the Nuggets had erased a 19-point deficit, stunned the Clippers, and have forced a Game 7 in a series that, at 3-1, people thought was over. Well, not so much. There will be Game 7. At the very least, you are going to see a Clippers team getting pushed to the limit before a conference final showdown with the Lakers. But who knows? We may get a Nuggets-Lakers series, guys.
And that could be the difference of the Clippers winning or losing this series, right? Lakers have been sitting around, and now the Clippers have to play a Game 7.
If the Nuggets do it, they'd be the first team to come back from 3-1 in 2 series. That's important. But in watching the Clippers play, as great as Kawhi is, I don't think they're as good as the Lakers. Maybe it's a bad matchup with the Nuggets. I don't know. But as Don just said, now they're stretched to 7 games, so they're going to be a little worn out. And the Lakers are really good, especially with Rondo back. They're really, really good, and they play great defense. So that I hope it's Lakers-Clippers because I think that's the sexier matchup.
Yeah, me too. I think we all want to see the Battle of L.A. And tomorrow night, guys, so you get a Monday Night Football doubleheader tonight, including the Giants coming up in just under an hour. But then, tomorrow night, Heat-Celtics Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals, followed by Game 7 of Nuggets-Clippers.
How much does Pat Riley want to beat the Celtics after the Lakers-Celtics stuff? I mean, oh, awesome.
It's going to be a great series, and it's all on ESPN tomorrow. That'll do it for ENN on this Monday.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.